The industry trend is growing smolts larger in land-based systems before transfer. You would think putting a larger fish in the ocean is safer, right?
But the data showed higher initial weight actually had a slight negative impact on survival.
Why does biology push back against that operational logic?
Because holding them in freshwater for extended periods might induce desmoltification. Their osmoregulatory system is no longer primed for the saltwater transition,
making the transfer much more taxing.
A whole new era of communication in the global aquaculture industry is coming. Now you have the brightest minds in aquaculture right in your pocket. And what's best, you can listen to all of them while driving to a farm, traveling, or running errands. It's never been this good, and it's never been this simple. Welcome to the Aquaculture Podcast Show, the first AI-based podcast in aquaculture, where you'll find cutting-edge insights in everything that's working in aquaculture, nutrition, health, and production. Inspired by the 2021 article titled Factors Associated with Baseline Mortality in Norwegian Atlantic Salmon Farming by Olivera, Victor, H.S. et al.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are really glad you could join us.
Definitely.
Today, we are pointing our lens at a massive and incredibly complex challenge in the global seafood production system.
Right.
If you are managing large-scale aquaculture operations, formulating nutritional strategies, or running veterinary diagnostics, this is a data set you absolutely need to internalize.
Oh, absolutely. The numbers here are just staggering.
They really are. In 2019 alone, 50 million farmed Atlantic salmon were lost during their final sea phase in Norway.
Yeah, and here's the catch with that number. There was no catastrophic algae bloom.
Right.
There was no single massive viral sweep making international headlines. It was just everyday loss.
Exactly. So what actually causes this massive drain on inventory? To find out, we're looking at a 2021 study titled Factors Associated with Baseline Mortality in Norwegian Atlantic Salmon Farming.
Authored by Victor Olivera and his research team.
Yeah.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly do we mean by baseline mortality?
Well, the study draws a very clear line. Extreme mortality is a sudden disaster, but baseline is the normal expected loss.
Right, which they define as 2% or less of the population per month.
Exactly. And the data set they built to look at this is incredible. They analyzed 1,627 cohorts.
Wow.
Yeah, over 14,000 monthly production records between 2014 and 2019. The average baseline loss was about 4.8 deaths per 1,000 fish every single month.
Imagine running your operations where a constant bleed of roughly 5 per 1,000 every month is just accepted as routine.
Right. It alters your entire feed conversion ratio forecast. But establishing this baseline is absolutely critical for syndromic surveillance.
Which is a huge part of early warning systems.
Yes. If your baseline is 4.8 and suddenly it ticks up to 6, your veterinary team knows something is shifting long before a mass die-off occurs.
Right. So we need to isolate the variables driving these everyday losses. And the Olivera study starts with the physical environment.
Specifically sea surface temperature.
Yeah, it operates on a very distinct U-shaped curve. The physiological sweet spot is between 5 and 10 degrees Celsius.
And if it drops below 5 or rises above 10, mortality just aggressively scales up.
Because these fish are optimized for that specific cold water window, right?
Exactly. Pushing outside of that forces massive energy redirection just to maintain homeostasis.
Which brings us to a really surprising detail about salinity.
Oh yeah, the salinity penalty.
Right. You would think highly saline ocean water is ideal for these ocean-going fish, but the data showed that for every 5 per mil increase in salinity, mortality jumped by about 20%.
It highlights the massive metabolic tax of osmoregulation. Pumping those internal water and ion concentrations takes intense energy.
Especially right after they transfer from freshwater hatcheries.
Right. Now, if we connect this to the bigger picture, geography plays a huge role here.
Because Norway divides the coast into 13 distinct production zones.
Exactly. And zones 2, 3, and 4 have the absolute highest baseline mortality.
About 1.5 times higher than the most efficient northern zone, zone 10.
Yes. And that is because geography acts as a proxy for pathogen pressure. Those southern and western zones are historically burdened with endemic diseases.
Like pancreas disease and cardiomyopathy syndrome.
Precisely. The water column there just demands a much more aggressive immune response 24/7.
And cardiomyopathy syndrome is insidious. You can have a fast-growing fish that looks completely healthy, but its cardiac output is severely compromised.
Right. So when you stress that fish with routine handling, the heart just gives out.
Which ties directly into when these fish are moved to the ocean. The study found cohorts transferred in July had the highest mortality.
While those moved in late summer to autumn, specifically August to October, had the best survival rates.
Makes total sense with the temperature limits we talked about earlier. But here is the curveball, the smolt paradox.
I love this part.
Yeah. The industry trend is growing smolts larger in land-based systems before transfer. You would think putting a larger fish in the ocean is safer, right?
But the data showed higher initial weight actually had a slight negative impact on survival.
Why does biology push back against that operational logic?
Because holding them in freshwater for extended periods might induce desmoltification. Their osmoregulatory system is no longer primed for the saltwater transition,
making the transfer much more taxing.
Yeah.
And the timeline of these losses forms another distinct U-shaped curve.
Right. High mortality right after transfer due to failed smolts.
But if they survive that initial shock, mortality steadily drops until they reach about 500 grams.
Yes. But once they exceed 2,000 grams, mortality skyrockets again. So what stands out to you about that?
It's like a compounding interest of stress.
Exactly. The older, larger fish have simply navigated the sea cages for a much longer time.
More cumulative exposure to hazards.
Precisely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When the researchers isolated all these variables, the single most detrimental driver of baseline mortality wasn't a specific virus.
No, it was the treatments used to manage marine parasites.
Right, the sea lice dilemma.
Historically, producers relied on medicinal baths to clear these infestations.
But the parasites evolved resistance.
Yes, which forced a dramatic industry-wide shift between 2014 and 2019 toward non-medicinal treatments to maintain regulatory compliance.
Like temperature-based treatments, literally plunging cold water fish into baths of 28 to 34 degrees Celsius.
Or physical removal methods like mechanical brushing.
And the data shows these physical treatments almost double the mortality rate compared to leaving them untreated.
The physical interventions required to manage the parasite are directly driving the baseline bottleneck.
Because brushing strips away the protective mucus, opening them up to opportunistic microorganisms.
And the sheer physical stress of the pumps causes fatal cardiac failure in fish already dealing with subclinical issues.
It creates an incredibly difficult feedback loop for producers.
Which is why the industry has heavily invested in cleaner fish to eat the parasites.
But the study cites a median mortality rate for cleaner fish of 42%.
Right. You are just transferring the biological bottleneck onto a secondary species.
So what does this all mean? The core takeaway from the Olivares study is that baseline mortality isn't just a mystery of nature.
Right.
It is heavily driven by human operational choices, geographic zoning, and the intense physical treatments used to maintain site hygiene.
Exactly. And analyzing your baseline data reveals that your routine standard operating protocols might be the very mechanisms causing your underlying losses.
We spend millions tweaking standard protocols without stepping back to question the foundation of the system.
And this raises an important question.
Okay.
If the regulatory requirement to manage parasites drives us to use physical treatments that degrade the yield, at what point do we fundamentally rethink the infrastructure?
Right. Designing production environments that completely separate the host from the pathogen to begin with.
Exactly.
That is the exact kind of high-level problem solving the industry needs. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into baseline mortality.
Keep analyzing that data.
And keep diving deep.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow the Aquaculture Podcast Show on your favorite platform. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook to stay updated on the latest episodes and industry insights. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.